Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A&M Consolidated Tiger Football, the playoff edition, as tonight the Consolidated Tigers take on White House. And we will retrace our steps, though, over the Cleveland Indians, a final of 77-7. Lee, in your coaching career, have you had three consecutive games with over 70 points?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look, but I think a couple of years when we were in Navasota and we were in the Houston ISD district, we had some games. It wasn't 70s, it was 80s, you know, type deal. So, but what I told the kids, it doesn't matter what your score. What I was proud of, and they came out, they did their job. We jumped on them early, and we stayed on them, and we finished the game and came away with a win.
It's all about the execution, and certainly this is where the third season begins, and as far as we're concerned, it's 0-0 for the record. But we got to go back and give props a little bit, not only to Caden Fedora, but to the offensive line. If you don't have time to throw, nothing happens.
Well, and that's one thing Caden will tell you. You know, after the game, he was real impressed with how the offensive line did, because he had plenty of time back there to sit and throw the ball. And, you know, a couple of those passes, you know, of course, it's funny these days, it's a toss forward, and then the guys were taking it to the house as a long touchdown run. But I thought overall the blocking up front did a great job, and I thought our receivers on the outside blocked well too when we had some that. And we told them early on, we're going to come out and throw the football around, and we're going to have to run the ball at the end and that type deal. And I think we're still pretty well balanced at the end of the game.
Yeah, and we told we talked about it last week about where we thought the biggest mismatch may be. The receiving core of Consolidated is indeed special among 5A this year. Cleveland has struggled. That proved to be the biggest mismatch, but my goodness, Lee, you did spread the ball around.
Yeah, that's one thing I've been real pleased with about this group, is it's not one guy you can stop. You know, we've got four guys that all have over 25 catches and that type deal, and it shows you we can throw the ball around to anybody and everybody. And what I've really noticed in our receiver core, they've got a good head on their shoulders to where if they only have one catch a game, they don't get upset as long as we get the W, and that's important.
You have four in the top 10 in receiving in the district right there. Valen Jones, of course, has been there in the middle of it. You got Price, you got Darby, and I got to tell you, pretty impressed too with Sam Presnell. We've talked about him before. Talk a little bit about Sutton Lake. Him coming in a little bit late, I thought that he did a really good job and got another touchdown.
Yeah, I've been real pleased with Sutton. You know, he was a guy, like we talked about a long time ago when we moved him up, that we're always watching that JV crew, and he was a guy that was going to show a lot, and he's done a great job in practice. He's done a good job when we get into games, and it's great to have, you know, when you sit there and you got Sutton Lake, a Brian Darby, Julius Howard, three guys in the backfield, and you count about four or five guys we got out at receiver, it allows us to do a lot of things.
The offensive line, I feel like, has probably been the most volatile all year long. We've had some issues there when they've really brought the heat on Caden, but is that the one unit that you say is starting to gel at just the right time? Where are you with your offensive line right now?
Well, they're going to always tell you that Coach Fedora is not going to only say there's good things. We still got things we got to get fixed. But what I'm real pleased with, and we've spent a lot of time, we've added a 10-minute period each practice week where it's all blitz assignment, to where all we're doing is calling out blitzes, and they're picking up from every different front and things like that. And there's a lot better communication going in with it, and we're doing a good job up front communicating.
We talked about some of the offense. I want to go back to Caden, though. You know, you got the time to throw. The pass catcher, the receivers are running great routes. But, man, I thought that Caden was pretty much on target. Got to give the kid his due. What a fantastic output he had, crossing and leaving in the dust the 2,000 mark for passing. But to have over 400, almost 500 yards in passing, that's almost unheard of.
Yeah, he did a great job. And, you know, it was one of those games that, you know, of course, we've got Gage Paul's our backup, but he has a little bit of a shoulder injury, nothing major, but I didn't want to put him in and have a chance to get him hurt at that point, you know, type deal. So Caden had to stay the whole game. You know, a lot of times when you get ahead like that, you're going to pull your starters and stuff, but, you know, that's where we are in the depth deal, and he still came out and executed and did a great job. And to be able to put that many yards on it, and really what I was most pleased with, not his touchdowns, not his yards, but the completion ratio was, you know, unbelievable, and that was a great job.
Let's talk about defense a little bit. It seems like everybody got a piece of the action. Ellison continues to dominate, and why teams will continue to run right toward Josh Ellison. And I know, I think four or five times that happened, and he made his presence known, shirking his blocker every time and making a big play.
Yeah, I think Josh is doing great, and he's getting better each and every you know, day, because when you watch him, the thing that stands out to me about Josh this year more than anything is how quick he is, sideline to sideline, getting off of blocks, and he's a guy that can run a guy down on the sideline, you know, that type deal, and that's what's been very impressive. And he's doing a great job fighting off double teams and shooting through gaps and doing the things he needs to do.
big to come up with a blocked punt as well. That's a great special teams play. But let's continue with the defense just briefly. Who did you think had a better ball game on the defense besides the ones that we usually call out?
Well, I'll be honest with you. When you look at the defense, what they've done, I think it was all of them did a great job. But, you know, I think the two Sheffield boys played well and did some great things. And, you know, I thought everybody did a great job in what they were needing to do. And that's the great thing about our defense. Not one guy is calling himself out. They're just proud of their entire self. Now, they'll tell you they're upset that they gave up that 7 points, you know, but that was with a lot of our backups in. But what was great, those starters were on the side pushing them, saying, hey, keep them out, do your job. But when you look at the points we've done all year long with scores and the points we allowed, it's pretty good.
This is where the fun begins. You started working for this moment immediately after the last game last year. And right now, we'll turn our attention to the playoffs. And it was a mess over there in that district to figure out who you're going to play. There could have been any number of folks, but it comes out that it's the White House Wildcats. And I'll tell you, a couple of your coaches tried to explain to us, and I believe that we're a little bit off because I couldn't understand what exactly the scenario was. And it doesn't matter. You know that you have White House now. You got a first-year coach in there. And anytime you're a first-year coach, the pressure's on. He followed Adam Cook, who'd taken them to the playoffs a few times, but here come the Wildcats. What do you know of them from the East Texas district?
Well, you know, anytime you face an East Texas team, they're going to have a lot of athletes and do some great things. But, you know, Coach Gold's done a great job. Now, he was defense coordinator last year, so there's not a lot different what they're doing from last year that when we played them. But, you know, I think they've got a lot of guys back, returners from last year's playoff team. And the one thing I'll say, they love to throw the football around. But, you know, their quarterback does a great job getting the ball out quick, and that's where we got to get pressure on the quarterback. We've got to be in good coverages. And we've mixed some coverages up that we're going to do this week just to kind of confuse them a little bit. And hopefully all of it's paid in. But the one thing we have worked hard on all week long, if you watch their film, when they're getting ready to punt, they're going to line up and fly in squirrel, swing and gate, do all different things. When they do field goals, they do the same thing. And if you're not lined up right, they're going to go for two, they're going to do a fake and all that. We have spent so much time this week doing that, and our guys have bought into it and done a great job.
They were a playoff team last year. We met them in the first round. Now, you did come out on top then, but any time, as you well know, you have 7 offensive starters returning, even though it is a different coach, it may not be new to them. You're right. 7 starters brings a lot of experience to that offense.
Well, a lot of things that, you know, a lot of the media has asked me about, it's neat that you played that team, beat them last year. Well, it's a new team. Mm-hmm. This is a new team, and the great thing, I'll tell you as a coach, what you love is the third season. To be able to be in the playoffs, because here on out, I learned this back from 1989 when Coach Rogers was coaching me and Coach Hoppers was coaching me. The one thing they said, you're not in the playoffs till you win a game. Right. You may be in the playoffs, but it don't count as playoffs till you win a game. And so that's what we told our guys, to be able to get our team picture on that championship wall in there. It doesn't go up there if we lose this game, because we're not a champion. Until we win a bi-district championship, then that can get it up there. So that puts a lot of momentum in those guys. But they're excited about it. And the great thing is getting to be a home game for the first playoff game. That's outstanding. But I think our guys have been very well prepared. And what's funny is that you would sit there and see the kids in practice this week, and you would think it's a negative 10 degrees. They act like it's freezing out there. But they had a lot of energy, and they were flying around having a good time.
I want to talk a little bit about the threat that White House may bring to the table with regard to their defense. I know that they've seen you, and you probably do this with your own. How would you coach against one of your teams? What do you think is going to be the biggest concern that White House could do that could throw you off the game at a time that your offense is really clicking?
Well, when we exchanged film with them, they want the Huntsville film, they want the Lamar Consolidated film, and so they're going to see what those teams did in blitzes and all that. So we've been working on a lot of blitz. I'm sure that's what they're going to try to do. They show different things. They're a lot of even front. They'll run some man. They'll run some man free, some zone, and then they'll get into an odd front. So we're prepared for all of it. And like we tell our guys each and every week, it ain't about our opponent. It's week 12. You've done every front. You've seen every blitz. We've got to be prepared for it and communicate, and that's what we've got to do.
You mentioned the quarterback of White House earlier, and I know it takes a full team effort, but if you had to look over on that side of the ball offensively and see that the Wildcats have this player that could do the most damage, where are they the strongest and what's behind that?
I think the big thing that they love to do, they'll get you in some quad set, they'll get in 3-by-1, they like to run a bubble slant and do different things to where they try to read the linebackers. If they bite down on that bubble, they hit the slant behind it and all that. And that's one thing I'll say about their quarterback. He does a great job reading his keys, getting the ball out quick, and that's why we've got to do good coverage and get pressure on him. And that's where Josh and those defensive front guys got to do a great job trying to get in his head ahead quickly, because if we can do that, that throws him out of his comfort zone.
And if they are reading the linebackers and the front line is doing their job, I think it then becomes a little bit of pressure on your corners and your secondary to read that. How much would you say they have improved since week number one as a unit? I'll say from a fan standpoint, that may be the second strongest unit you have out there, only second to your receiving core. I love how they have gelled and communicate.
Well, there's no doubt. When you look at our secondary, and of course, all of them are juniors, you know, type deal, but they've done a great job communicating. A lot of interceptions, a lot of guys making plays. And what I've been real impressed with our secondary, not only in their pass coverage, but how when we're going 3-by-1 and we got the safety on the backside, he's coming down making plays, you know, on the run game and doing those type things. And like I said, it's going to be a new wrinkle that we're putting in. They're going to see a different defense that we're doing, but we're going to play a lot of our base defense too, but we're going to do different things to try to get that quarterback confused, because that's one thing. When you've got a quarterback that can throw the ball quick and he's been prepared for what they've seen in our defense and we throw something new at him, it can change up his mindset. So that's what we're hoping.
You know, I want to go back to something you mentioned regarding the Huntsville Hornets. I remember in the time of Jim Slaughter, he would say, you know, when you get into the playoffs, you see some of these good teams, when you play them like the Austin Westlakes of the world, they're good about bringing one big old finger down and pointing to right where you have a problem pretty quickly. I think Huntsville exposed us in some areas. Talk to me a bit about how this team has evolved and what we learned since then, and is this indeed a far better team now than we were when the Hornets came in?
Well, you remember back when we did our interview after Huntsville, and I said the one main thing that we talked about, we lost that game, and that hurt. But how we're going to respond as a team decides what type of team we're going to have. Are we going to lay down and get another loss, or are we going to finish? Well, our guys did their job. They ended up going undefeated after that and finishing up with 9-1. But, you know, like I told the guys, when people are saying, man, 9-1, second year, that's great. No, that one loss still hurts, you know, and that upsets you. But we're not going to think about that. We're going to get ready for the next deal. And like we told them, when we watch film, we're always trying to find the one or two wrinkles that teams get hurt on, and that's what we go at. And like I told them, they're going to be watching the film, they're going to see the things. So I told our offensive line, you better be ready for different blitzes and things like that. Now, do they have a big defensive end like the, you know, Huntsville has? No, but it doesn't matter. They're still going to be a good team, and from here on out, it's one game at a time, because you win, you continue. You lose, your season's over.
Yeah, Lee, and we'll just quickly drop this in. You got Fort Bend, Marshall, Santa Fe. They'll be playing, and then the winner of that ball game is who Consol will play if you win over White House. But as you look back to the beginning of the season as we wrap up, it sounds so contradictory to use the term maturity when talking about 16, 17, 18-year-olds with a guy with two 18-year-olds in the house. But when it comes to this level, you take them in their rawest form in the summer and you try to gel them together. I'm not so sure. We've had the physicality. It's the mental aspect of the game when you hit the playoffs I've always thought was most important. Where is this team and how far have they come?
I've been real pleased with this week of practice, because I think this has been one of our best weeks of practice. You could see the energy level. The guys are flying around. They're more focused. Now, what helps is, you know, we brought a lot of our JV guys up, some of our freshman guys up, their scout team, and those guys are doing a good job showing us stuff. They've been studying the film with our coaches. They're going out doing the plays that we need to be prepared for. Because I tell guys, the years that we made runs for state championships in my other schools, it's because our scout team did a great job getting them prepared. And I can tell you, there's been a lot of physicality out there in practice, and they're doing a good job, and hopefully that'll continue to move forward.
Here's what I like. It's an intangible that you can't really teach kids. They either have it or they don't. You got freshmen and sophomores out there in your freshman and JV team. They could hang it up. I mean, their season is done, but they're looking at a bigger picture because they know their place is being reserved out there, and they're working on what their position may be next year. How good is it to look up and see the participation level and the spirit and the physicality that they are bringing to help make this varsity better?
That's a great thing, because like we tell them, we don't make them come up. It's their choice if they want to come up. One rule I put in, if you miss one practice and you don't get to travel that week for the playoff game, and we hadn't had an issue. They've all been out there. They're getting after it, doing their job. And what I tell them as a coach, I'm watching you guys because I've had it happen in the past where some of those guys do a great job, and say if we make a long run at it, all of a sudden one of those guys may be a starter and they're at special teams and doing that, and we're seeing some guys stand out and doing great deals. And what I like is how our varsity guys are encouraging them, pushing them, you know, especially when we're doing outside hole, throwing the ball around. We had some receivers make some great catches against our secondary, and you can see the energy level getting going, and so we're excited about it.
All right, it's going to be A&M Consolidated in White House. It's the third season, and it all kicks off in just moments from right now. We'll check our starting lineups in the kickoff of the bi-district action from Tiger Stadium is up next. For Coach Lee Fedora, thanks for joining us. I'm Mike Wright.